This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com. Welcome. Tonight, later in the show, we'll be talking with Dr. Kemi Ando about her dissertation on erotic breath play. And right now we have Nicholas in the studio, and he's working on a cockumentary.
Inches of Charity.
And so the idea is people are going to gain inches on their wang.
Correct. So men will engage in a penis enlargement regime, and for every inch or fraction thereof that they gain, we get sponsorship for. So it's like a penis-a-thon.
For every inch.
For every inch.
More.
Well, exactly.
And what? Which is the charity?
It's an AIDS orphanage in Durban, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Babies from one day old up to boys and girls to 18, and they provided with home, house, food, schooling,
mm-hmm.
education.
So these are AIDS, or people orphaned by AIDS?
Correct.
Basically.
And actually have AIDS. It's a big problem in Southern Africa and South Africa, and it's where I'm from, so the idea behind this was to do something for the place from.
Yeah, I heard the infection rate in Africa is something like 25% or something really heinous like that.
That's about right.
Sounds like a really important charity. I'm glad you're doing this work.
Well, and then some folks think there's a huge disconnect.
Why did you connect the two?
I was walking down the beach in Australia with a friend of mine I had grown up with, and he'd been given a penis pump as a wedding gift. And
right. Causes bruising and swelling.
But for him, worked. I think he was large enough to begin with, so his wife said, please don't use it anymore.
Oh.
But he had come across the penis extender in a trip in Germany.
And this is the device that you're using.
This is the device that I'm asking people to use. I'm
now, it's
personally
like...
not using it.
Oh, so have you tried it ever?
You know, I've never tried it.
Really?
Really.
Why not? Is it too scary?
It's not scary.
It's pretty scary.
Perhaps I'm afraid I'll like it.
Oh, really?
Who knows?
Oh, I think, didn't you call it earlier the penis rack?
Well, you know, it looks like...
Because it kind of stretches your wang.
It does stretch your wang, and it does look like how the rack... The old medieval rack works.
Uh-huh.
You put the body under tension and you keep extending and extending.
Right, but this was a torture device in medieval Europe. Why would you want to do this to your wang?
It's my understanding this device was created to help with Peyronie's disease, which is curvature of the penis.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And so as part of the documentary, we went to Chicago and interviewed a Dr. Levine, who is at Rush Medical, doing trial studies on Peyronie's disease. And he's using this device for his patients. And one of the things he's discovered is that it does, in fact, create length and girth.
So it does actually work, is what...
From everything I've looked at, this is the only thing that gives you permanent growth.
Because there's Enzyte, and there's penis pills, and there's penis pumps, and those things are either sort of scary, weird hormones. What do? We don't know. Maybe nothing. In fact, don't people get convicted for that sort of thing all the time? And then there's the penis pump, which just does the temporary bruising and swelling.
Well, you can put it that way, yes.
But bruising and swelling is bigger.
And it's a wonderful color, too.
That's right.
The penis pump and the pills, all those things, let you get to your maximum potential. But you can't get any more than that. This seems to, as part of the documentary, is that we want to test whether this does work.
Right.
So the regime is 6 months to 1 year. Depending on who you talk to, you either wear this for about 2 hours at a spot, up to 10 hours a day, and the more you wear it, the better it works.
Really? Yeah. And so you wear it in your pants, or you can wear it while you're sleeping, or I don't understand?
Both.
Okay. So is that a banana in your pocket, or are you trying to stretch out your penis?
You know, it's a good thing. I think that linen's coming back, and you nice, you know, relaxed linen pants.
Right.
This will work
really,
very well.
Maybe the parachute pants are coming back.
Coming back. MC Hammer, where are you?
Oh, yeah, right. So what is it called? The Joe's Extender?
This is the Jess Extender.
Jess Extender.
It's a Danish company. Male Edge makes it. They were kind enough to give me a great discount on this, and I'm hoping that they will be giving me a bunch more, because the men who signed up so far have dropped out.
And so you had five men sign up. And they're all like, I want to have a bigger wang.
Yes.
And then you're like, boy, I'm going to hook you up with that. And then they tried it for a little while. And what happened?
The only one I've done sort of a post interview with is my friend Justin. He called me one day a bit freaked out. He said he found stretch marks, which I think is a good thing, right?
It's working.
But
he's getting stretch marks on his penis.
On his penis.
And that's Penises are sacred. You can't stretch them out. So he was worried about this. And the other men, they didn't say why they were stopping.
One guy wanted to get paid, and we didn't have any money. It's a documentary, so we didn't go that route. Though we
You're
made.
getting a bigger wing, and you could be a famous reality television star after
And
this.
you're raising money for little kids with AIDS.
That's exactly right.
One really wonderful guy emailed me out of the blue from Louisiana, and he went through the regime, but unfortunately, every piece of footage he sent me got lost in the mail.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
So,
Whoa, wow, how, why?
I have no idea.
God, why, God, why?
So, I'm not sure from the anecdotal information that I have interviewing him that he can tell much of a difference.
And how long do you have to wear it before it starts working, do you think?
Depends on hourly. So you need to wear it for at least 2 hours a day. The forums, there are guys who wear it for up to 12 hours a day. Some folks wear it when they sleep. My friend Justin was finding that he'd get an erection every time he put it on, which doesn't help. So I guess he touches himself, he gets an erection.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Okay, so you wrap your penis up in this. Okay, first you put these little plasticky, silicone-y, rubber bandy things on the end of it, and then you put this
So that the rubber bands
cock ring of prosthesia,
goes against the base of your penis, and
right?
then you attach these extenders. They screw in,
Right. So it's these
and
like little metal prongs on this cock ring
if you
thing.
can imagine a circle, and then a cylinder coming off that circle, and then there's a lovely plastic piece which goes under the glands and the silicone strap,
And you just wrap it around there and
and pull tight.
kirk.
And then don't watch any porn because
So if you get an erection, it goes thwing
it pops
and
right off,
pops
yeah.
off. But
Which can
it
be
so at least
embarrassing if you are wearing this outdoors.
Oh, can you imagine? Suddenly, like little pieces of metal and plastic fall out your pant leg, and you're like,
Just like that scene from Forrest Gump
Oh, wait, you
where
have to have your mic on. Jim, our token straight guy,
Oh,
Jim.
yeah, I'm sorry, I'm late.
It's okay.
No, it's like that scene from Forrest Gump, you know, like when he starts running, so like in the pieces of his prosthetic start flying off.
Right,
I can picture
exactly.
that.
Exactly. It does look very much like a prosthetic something.
It's like something from Marilyn Manson video or something. It's great.
But you know, if that is the case, he got to run afterwards. The device made his leg work.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this does fall off and then suddenly there's a large penis pops
You
out.
know, it's funny that we have such an obsession with bigger wangs in our culture when, really, in my opinion, what women care about is not necessarily the size of the penis, but whether or not it makes them come. And most women come from clitoral stimulation, which doesn't really have a lot to do with penis size.
It doesn't.
No, not really.
I've been doing something wrong for a long time.
Oh, well, maybe you're doing it right for yourself. But, you know, there's always
The other person?
hi. Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. Circles. You know, there's a lot of different strategies, but apparently only 10% of women can come without any clitoral stimulation. But I guess if you have a really, really large cock, I suppose it would vibrate the tissues around there. But,
Too large would hurt.
right. That's exactly right.
And from what I understand, wider is better than longer.
Okay.
Girth is better, right?
You know, I feel like it's not ever your biology, it's your willingness, it's your ability to communicate, it's your connection. Do you know what I mean?
We need more people like you because the people selling this, the people selling the Enzyte, the Viagra, are all about marketing to our insecurities.
Right.
And so I'm not from this country. The idea of penis size was foreign to me until I came here.
Really?
Really.
Oh, they don't have a big size thing going on.
Not growing up in South Africa.
Wow.
But maybe because that was in the early 80s and things were a bit repressed back then.
Right.
And there was no email, no spam. You couldn't get spammed with penis
Oh, right.
size.
Yeah. I know I
Yeah.
often get still the spam.
You do.
People want me
Yeah.
to get a bigger penis and pay.
I did
Well,
some
God bless them.
Yeah, right.
I did some research today. You can type in Thailand penis enlargement. You can go to a hotel that sets you up. Instead of a sex tour, you get medical tours.
Oh,
And you can
right.
go and get penis enlargement. You can get injections of fat into your dick. All sorts of surgical processes.
So we actually have a doctor in the room. Dr. Kemi Ando, are you willing to play with us? It
Sure,
seems to be
I'd
an
love
and you probably I'm always like, is
to.
that safe? And you might maybe would know. Is getting fat injected into your penis, would that help?
It might help temporarily, but after a little while, your body's just going to reabsorb it, so.
Right.
Yeah, they did say on the website that your penis 20 to 30% likely chance of being lumpy afterwards.
Yeah, some of the pictures of it are really funky.
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of cauliflowery.
Well, you know, it kind of collects and bundles onto one side or the other, and then, you know, if you use it too soon, then it didn't get settled into the tissue, and or if somebody wasn't quite accurate or precise.
Though you would never have to use a ribbed condom again, because it would all the sensation.
There's a bright side to
everything. Okay, good. So this rack thing that you guys are using for Inches for Charity, which is the documentary that he's making to enlarge penises, and you also seem to like deconstruct a little bit of the idea of why it's important to have a large penis, and you're looking for interviews and willing participants who want to make their penis bigger. So it seems like this actually does something, but it might give your penis stretch marks.
You may get stretch marks, but from whether the forum boards, whether the folks on the forum boards are lying or not, they seem to indicate that it does work. The bigger question is why we're so fascinated.
Right.
And so that's part of the documentary, and it's something I can't figure out.
Well, that's true, because sometimes you get with someone who has such a large penis that you're like, ooh, that's really pretty, but I can't get my mouth around that. I'm certainly not going to put that anywhere else, you know?
That's why I date small girls. Women.
Wow. That's a whole other new exciting topic here.
Yes, I'm sure you meant that in the other girls' way.
I did.
Right. Okay, good. So usually a somewhat larger of a penis can be painful. I think as long as you have your technique down, you really don't need a larger penis.
The average penis size in North America, I think, is between 5 and 6. 25% are below 3 and 25% are above 6.
Mm-hmm.
There was a recent Condomania study.
Wait, you said 1 in 4 are below 3?
25%, yeah.
1 in 4, huh? 25%. Wow.
So I think that most guys wouldn't think that the normal penis size is between 5 and 6. And I actually wouldn't have thought that either. I would have thought something more than that. But I think that's because we all think that it's bigger than it really is.
So the marketing's working.
Well, and the porn.
The porn.
The people have just ginormous wieners
in porn. But the guys in porn...
It's amazing. What are you going to do with that?
My friend Justin, who was trying this out, had a roommate who had a 10-inch dick.
Mm.
And he would use the penis pump to get a bigger dick.
Even bigger than 10.
Even
it
bigger
fit
than
into
10.
The pump?
You can get extra large.
Oh, you
should do some research.
Wow.
I apparently haven't been looking carefully enough.
Interesting. Okay, so what are you doing to recruit people into your program?
So originally we sent out ads on Craigslist, and then Craigslist shut us down, which is rather weird because there's some really
weird stuff
on
Craigslist. Yeah.
But they flagged us and shut us down. And then my cameraman moved away, so we went on a bit of a hiatus. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to go and look for guys in Los Angeles and in the Bay Area who want to join. Sign up for a good cause.
So if you want to try it, inchesforcharity.org, just thinking of what it would be like to wear this in your pants for 12 hours a day. But you could do it while you're sleeping if you wanted to, so you didn't have to think about it.
You could. Dr. Levine really recommended that you wear this for 2 hours at the most, and then take your penis out, shake it around, let blood flow back, otherwise it may turn black. And then
that's a good warning.
You know, if you
is
go
that
to the,
serious
you,
if your penis turns black? Is it going to fall off?
Should you call a doctor?
That might be a problem.
Yeah,
it's
call a doctor.
Bad. Yeah, right. I mean, is a little shaking going to help it after that? Okay.
Depends who's doing the shaking.
My penis is black. So these guys get a free rack, penis rack, Jess Extender, and then they get to have potentially a bigger penis at the end of the documentary. What else?
A warm, fuzzy feeling for helping the kids.
Right, warm, fuzzy feeling for helping the kids in Africa.
And we're trying to do some fundraisers so that we can actually pay people if they complete the regime.
You were going to do some events for raising money for the charity and...
I thought you were going to do a dance.
I'm going to do a dance.
Yes,
okay.
You can do a dance.
Wow, that's exciting.
The good people...
For the kids in Africa.
Oh, of course.
The good people at Divine Interventions have given us a bunch of their toys to auction and raffle away.
Divine Interventions, that's the people who do the baby Jesus butt plug.
That's correct.
Fabulous.
He's a friend of mine. And you have a glow-in-the-dark jackhammer here. So if you turn the lights off, that thing will glow and it'll light your way.
Okay, so this toy here that I get to check out later is
later.
A ginormous...
I thought this was a sex show.
Oh, gym. Yeah, sure. No, not really. So it's a white phallus that has a Jesus on it, and he's all like, in his little crucifix position. And then it also is a wang on the other side. It's all like blang, Christ on a cross.
It can second as a weapon if you put it in your holster.
Ah,
Yeah.
yeah, I could thump people on the
Yeah,
head with it
you
really
could.
hard.
Okay, I gotta see this.
Yes, please. And that was called jackhammer?
That's the jackhammer, yeah.
Jackhammer. I don't quite understand that. This
It was
glowing Jesus.
intended to vibrate, and it's because it has the sort of the cross arm that it would
Right,
jackhammer. Yeah.
the okay,
It'd be
got
great if
it.
Jesus had an erection too.
The next rendition will he'll ever
Yeah,
be in.
write that down, please.
Now, I think he did in real life, right?
Well, you know,
And
something like
so the
this.
divine interventions, they have a full line, and it's not just the baby Jesus butt plug and the jackhammer, but it's
It's
all sorts of
we've got a
religious inspired
the
toys.
Buddha, the devil, the Grim Reaper, diving nun,
Diving nun.
Mary.
Do you have any pocket pussies?
We were gonna do the Hairy Mary pocket pussy,
Oh.
but that didn't.
Jim says,
We've got a tester.
Right.
Sign me up.
Thanks, Jim.
They're coming out with a Shiva Lingam which vibrates,
Ah.
and a miniature Bible that vibrates, Bible Thumper. And
Nice.
yes, we
That's
try
great. I
to
mean,
hit
people are always, oh God, right? You might
exactly.
as well just bring it on home.
Bring it on home.
Okay, so Divine Interventions, I'm sure they have a website, and your friend works for Divine
Nigel,
Interventions, right? Yeah,
yeah,
Nigel.
it's divine-interventions.com.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Nigel, for providing us with such lovely gifts. And you too could, I was thinking of getting the Supper Club involved because they're really fun and they're always game for some sexy ridiculousness, and I think this definitely qualifies. So, good, good, good. I'm not sure that I want to see that in action, but I sort of want to talk to someone who's
Do you want Jim to
willing
try
to
it
try
now?
it. I
Yeah,
don't
why
know
not?
if you would try it now.
It
Would
sounds
you try
complicated.
it?
Well, we have the large extended pieces already, so I
Oh,
would
that's
assume
very
that
kind of
these
you.
would
Would you be willing to try it in the loo and then come back?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah,
Oh,
sure.
Jim, I love you. Are you sure?
Yeah, why not?
Okay,
Well,
great. Okay, we need to take a quick break. So tonight in the show, Dr. Kemi Ando talking about erotic breath play. And thanks so much for coming early, Kemi.
Pleasure.
Token straight guy Jim, who is getting gold stars for
Yeah.
trying out the Jess extender. So exciting.
Why not?
And Nicholas from inchesforcharity.org. It's a documentary about penis size. Thanks, Nicholas.
My pleasure. And Jim, it hasn't been used before.
Oh, okay. That's comforting.
This is Sexploration with Monica. We're talking with Nicholas about his documentary, Inches for Charity. You can learn about it at inchesforcharity.org. And the funny thing is, you can get a bigger penis for the kids in Africa. How exactly does that work, Nicholas?
The idea is that we will get people to sponsor the men in the regime, like you would do for a walkathon.
Right.
For every inch or fraction thereof, we would raise money. That money would then go to the AIDS orphanage.
So people are making pledges.
People are making pledges. So we Clona Willy? Clona Willy, we'll do a before and after. So we'll clone the penis, and then you stretch for 6 months to a year, and then afterwards we'll do another clone, and we subtract the difference.
Right.
And that's how we figure out how much you've grown.
Oh, good luck, Jim. And Jim, my token straight guy, is going to try on the penis rack. Okay, well, you know what the rack is. It stresses you out. It uses it as a torture device in medieval England. But this is sort of like a prosthetic version made out of silicone and pieces of metal. Well, we're going to send Jim off to the bathroom to try it on. And I really hope he comes back with it on. But he may, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Was he wearing tight jeans?
I don't think they were particularly
Tight,
tight. He's
okay.
not that kind of guy. He's a pretty man's man. I'm shocked, frankly. I mean, he's super open-minded, which is, I love him,
You know,
but
the nail polish gave it away,
I know, isn't
didn't
that wonderful? I mean, he does like green and purple and whatever, but penis rack. And you've never tried it.
I've never tried it. There was getting to a point where if I wanted to continue the documentary that I would have to do it myself. And that was sort of an exciting thing, and then sort of not. I'm happy with what I have, whether
Right.
it's large or small or in between. And so I decided against. Plus, this is something my folks are going to see.
Right. I often have that pause.
Yes, do
What if
you?
my parents listening to this on the radio?
Imagine if it was live on TV.
I know.
The the family would be very difficult. And then my co-workers, I work for the state, and yet I want other men to sign up. So please.
But it actually works. I mean, this is the one thing that you found. I mean, what are some of the other things that you found that people are doing to their wangs?
We had one guy who used to tie a string to his dick and then have his girlfriend tie it to a doorknob and then she'd lean on the doorknob.
Oh, that doesn't seem safe, Dr. Kemi Ando.
That kind of sounds like the same thing, but less effective.
Well, especially since you need two people.
Because it is stretching it.
You have 2 hours of that instead of her standing there like having to read a book or something.
Right. But so she was just leaning on the door for a while.
I'm hoping it wasn't one of those where you got a bad tooth and you just chuck the door.
Right.
I'm hoping that's what it wasn't. But he would also pump until he bled.
Use the suction pump thing.
And he would burst veins.
Oh.
So a lot of guys are using the suction pump.
Uh-huh.
There is a Dr. Kaplan down in San Diego who sells quite a bit of the suction pumps. And hoping to get an interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
See whether he thinks the suction pump works permanently. There are actually pumping societies. So in Palm Springs, I think it's on a yearly basis.
You hang out with your friends
and you pump.
Huh.
I tried to get into that and they wouldn't let me film.
Oh, why not?
Privacy concerns.
Well, maybe you could just blur it all. I mean, it would be so interesting. You know what I mean?
Would it be interesting?
Why does sex have to be so taboo? It's so interesting.
If you could tell who it was by their penis, we could blur the faces.
Because everyone knows what everyone's penis looks like.
You don't?
No, and I have a radio show about sex. Jim's back! Oh! It's in there! Oh!
Really?
Jim!
How does it feel?
It's not.
Okay, so he's coming back to the microphone, and we can sort of see it through his pants, and he's sitting down a little bit more gingerly than usual. Jim, you win the Token Straight Guy of the Year award.
Thank you. You know, I've got to tell you, it's not uncomfortable.
Really?
No. I really, it kind of is not super comfortable putting it on.
Uh-huh.
Because it feels a little like, there's just a loopy thing that's going around.
Right.
And I didn't use the foam pad.
You didn't use the cushion.
You're right, he's a man's man.
He is a man's man, even with the nail polish. I told you. Totally. He's from Texas.
That's right. That's why we wear purple. Texas fingernail polish.
As are most of Divine Intervention's clients.
Okay, good. So what was it like putting it on?
It did feel a little bit like it was a little too long because... You know, I'm pretty compact whenever, you know, things are in traveling mode. But really, it's like, it doesn't, like the base is, you know, really good, has a lot of pivot action to it. So,
So you can flop around freely?
Put it anywhere.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, which is really nice.
Good.
So where is it angled right now?
It's over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Down your right leg.
On the side
there.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not uncomfortable.
not really a natural position for the penis.
Yeah, well, it was like...
And you're definitely not sitting in a natural way.
Do you
think that you could like do this all day and then like take it off and shake it for 2 hours and then no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you think you could?
Yeah, no, because like it's hard to even... Like, it's, aside from like not being able to really sit completely up, it's not really noticeable.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Really surprisingly, actually.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
Maybe Jim will sign up.
Jim, would you like to raise some money for kids in Africa with your penis?
Well, you know, if it's for a good cause.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I don't have to film your penis.
Okay. I kind of like that. Yeah.
Oh, Jim, I love you so much.
But don't stretch too much now because we've got to do a before and after.
Okay, that's good to know.
So the cockumentary is called Inches for Charity, and it's all about everything about penis size. It's about ways people make it bigger. It's about why you might want it bigger. It's also about like why people might not want it bigger. What have you found in that?
Not a lot in that. I mean, you're one of the first people to
really?
Say, yeah. Well,
oh.
Again, I've mainly interviewed people who either wanted bigger penises or at the Fulton Street Fair, and then in San Francisco as well. I think there's a bit of a bias towards
bigger and better.
Bigger and better.
Right.
But then we've been sold this bigger and better nonsense as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two people at Fulton Street Fair who said it didn't matter how big their partner was. It was more about loving their partner.
Mm.
And surprisingly, these were two gay guys. The straight women and the straight guys all wanted bigger dicks.
Hmm. I've only had one experience where penis size was at all an issue, and it was because it was so much of an issue for him. Like, he felt so insecure about having a small penis that he was apologizing to me before I ever saw it. You know, he felt really insecure, and it ended up making him feel so awful that he was having trouble getting an erection because of it. And I think just what happened was he had one experience that really traumatized him, where a woman was angry about something completely different and just took it out on that, you know, and just was screaming at him about it. I think that we have so much of a fixation on penis-vagina intercourse being the only thing to do with sexual activity, and kind of thinking, oh, well, we just go in and out and that's all you do, that the variety and depth and range, and I mean, there's so many things you can do to bring your partner to climax. There are many people that have wonderful sex lives that don't ever use the penis involved in them at all. So clearly there's ways to have sexual satisfaction at any size, no matter, and with any kind of equipment. It's just sort of interesting that you would have so many people spending, I mean, how much is spent on Enzyte and creams and pills and
extenders,
racks, penis racks.
It's millions of dollars.
Right.
It really is, because we're insecure.
And why aren't we sending the money to those kids in Africa?
We will soon.
So if you actually want both, I mean, you can have the best of both worlds here. If you want both a bigger penis and to help the children in Africa, this is really your chance.
I hope that one thing that comes out of this is that in the end, size isn't important, and that it really is about who you are. If you're an arsehole with a big dick, you're still an arsehole.
Right.
If you're a nice guy with a small dick, you're a good guy.
Right.
And hopefully your partner will be understanding and won't belittle you and won't lose it when she's angry at you or he's angry at you.
Right. I mean, A, that's abusive, and no partner should do that to anyone, no matter what, about anything, even if it's about penis size, or, you know, it's inexcusable to treat another person that way. That was abusive. But also, because there's so many things that you can do, so many pathways to pleasure, that it really doesn't matter.
But we aren't. This is a strange society.
Mm.
We're a very prudish society.
Mm.
So sex ed is frowned upon. Frank discussion about sex is frowned upon. We're left to the marketers, watching porn and thinking that all those guys have large dicks and that's the only reason those girls are being pleasured.
Mm-hmm.
And the same in the gay community. It's actually maybe even more destructive in the gay community with size issues. It was surprising to me to find out how important size was.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me that you didn't have that in your culture at home. And then when you came to America, you were like, really? You guys care about how big your wang is?
I didn't like cars either.
Right, right. You're like, weird. Interesting. Well, we are going to take a quick break. You can find out more about Nicholas's work at inchesforcharity.org. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking with Dr. Kemi Ando about erotic breath play and all the other interesting things that she's up to. And I'm so glad you were here early, because it's so nice to have a doctor in the room, especially when we're talking about stretching wangs. And in just a moment, we're going to be...
I feel safer.
I mean, don't you?
Yes.
She's here, just
totally.
In case. And it's all like sproing, and she's like, here.
I'll take care of you.
Perfect, thank you.
Not quite the medical time, but you know.
You know.
It's all good.
Kemi, we're
all
here to I love you. Token straight guy Jim Stone will always have a special gold star in my heart for trying on the penis rack. Yay, Jim!
Yeah.
We had Nicholas from Inches for Charity in. He's doing a documentary on stretching your penis. You actually raise money for a charity in Africa the more you stretch your penis. You know, and they start to deconstruct some of the ideas they have about penis size in our culture and that sort of thing. But Jim actually tried the stretcher on, and you said it wasn't that bad.
No, it was surprisingly not uncomfortable. Yeah.
Wow.
I am a little tingly right now, actually.
Are you tingly?
I might need doctor attention.
Oh, actually, so, yeah. And you had a great hard on, like this fantastic bulge in your pants.
Yeah, well, you know, the point was not to get hard, but it was.
Imagination, underneath the pants.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really quite lucky that we had Dr. Kemi Ando come in early so she could be, because I was like, I don't know if that's safe or not, but apparently...
When I went to the sexual medicine conference back in October, they had some posters up of guys with their happy, not Peyronie's curvatured penises after using the device.
I see.
And stretch marking, you know, that doesn't sound like that unusual, because women have stretch marks on their breasts all the time.
Right,
so
that's right.
What are some stretch marks on a wang?
And, you know, they go away after a while. Stretch marks fade and you can get some cream.
They could apply cream while they're stretching it.
That's
so,
right.
You know?
Oh, they could put the Palmer's cream, the cocoa butter on there. Could have cocoa butter wang.
I mean, seriously.
And then you could prevent the stretch marks from happening.
There's already so much going on down there that's like, who's going to notice a few stretch marks? It's
right,
like,
exactly.
You know, there's like, oh, that's vein, and that's that thing that does that, and like that's
right.
All like that. And it's like, oh, is that a stretch mark? Who knows?
Right.
Maybe.
Exactly. And we'd be like, no, it's a bulging vein.
It's not a speed bump. That's good.
Excellent. Right. It's a ridge. So this is Sexploration with Monica. We'll be coming back with Dr. Kemi Ando in just a few moments on FCC Free Radio. This is Sexploration with Monica. a sex-positive feminist radio talk show, and I am also a masculinist.
A masculinist?
Mm-hmm. A masculinist. It means that men can transcend masculinity or redefine masculinity to become more self-actualized and more empowered.
Sounds pretty awesome.
For instance, wear nail polish or whatevs. It doesn't make them more or less of anything. They're just equally super fabulous and masculine.
All right. I think I must be a masculinist myself then.
I know.
That's awesome.
In fact, Nicholas noticed that you were wearing nail polish. He's like, yeah, I think he's probably a pretty cool guy, very open-minded. Oh. I was like, yeah, that's right. My friend Jim Stone, token straight guy on Sexploration with Monica today. Thanks, Jim. And thanks for trying on that penis rack.
Sure.
With us today, Dr. Kemi Ando, luckily early, just to make sure everything was okay.
To be clear, it's a PhD, not an MD or a DO. So it's all theoretical.
But you have worked in clinics, right?
I do. I work at a Hep C / HIV and addiction clinic in Oakland.
That sounds like really important work.
Sounds like it's pretty full on, too.
It's pretty intense, because on Mondays and Thursdays, we see walk-ins. So a lot of people who don't have insurance or are underinsured. We're dealing with family packed stuff, so people getting free birth control and, you know, family planning methods. And then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we see a lot of people who are being treated or are going through a group for Hep C.
So you guys do testing and outreach.
Yep.
Do you see a lot of kink people, or do you see a lot of people from like transgender communities, or?
We see actually a lot of homeless people. In San Francisco, sort of a similar clinic would be City Clinic, where they would see a lot more of the sexual community, but we see general community members.
And your dissertation for your thesis was on erotic breath play.
The title for the dissertation was Attitudes and Behaviors Concerning Erotic Breath Control.
And so what you were studying was what people thought and what people did.
Yes.
In terms of autoerotic asphyxiation and erotic asphyxiation.
I broadened it to breath control. The original idea was that I was going to study people who engage in erotic asphyxiation. And my committee chair is Dr. Charles Mosher, who actually is an MD and a PhD. He's awesome. He's in San Francisco. And he's like, okay, well, how do you measure that? I'm like, I don't know. You're the doctor. You should tell me. He's like, you're the student. Go find out.
How do you measure breath
if somebody is asphyxiated?
Oh.
Or levels of asphyxiation, because you can be asphyxiated, which means
asphyxiation is unconsciousness?
The definition of asphyxiation is lowered levels of oxygen in the blood.
Okay.
So it's
lowered levels.
So you can say somebody died from asphyxiation, which is useful as opposed to somebody died from drowning. So there's a delineation, but because you can hold your breath and levels of oxygen can go down because your body is using oxygen. So it's not like I could go around and be like, okay, are you being asphyxiated? Like,
right. You couldn't like get maybe your ruler out and measure asphyxiation.
Yeah, and then it would be complex and
so you'd have
so
to like
more.
Have a blood test and be like, if your blood is lower than something,
but
something.
They'd have to like get it constantly, like the entire time they're having sex.
Oh,
and,
whoa.
Like, yeah.
Awesome.
Like, wait, I don't know how to do this.
And so then you're like, okay, well, just talk to people who are engaging in breath play.
Yes. Went out to the community, talked to a bunch of people, and got the range of what people are doing, or I should say part of the range. There's probably a lot more out there.
So many different kinds of behaviors.
Yeah, and the ones that people die from are the ones that show up in the newspapers and the journal articles and all this other stuff. But
in excess, Michael Hutchinson, David Carradine. And that's the, I have a plastic bag over my mouth that wore a belt around my neck and I'm wanking off.
Exactly. And the ones where it's very dramatic and obvious.
What are some of the other things that people do with breath play?
Like sitting on somebody's face and, you know.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No.
And smothering with breath or deep kissing, like really deep kissing where you're breathing into each other's mouth.
Right.
You could use corseting.
Corseting.
Tight waist cinture. Yeah. Could be wrestling. You could tickle somebody so that they're laughing so hard that they can't breathe.
So there's a lot of different things that people are doing, not just making themselves pass out.
Yeah. And actually, a lot of the people who were engaging in breath play, most of them, the vast majority of them, were not trying to make somebody pass out. There were times where people would pass out by accident, but I think at most 70 out of the 350 people that I surveyed had some episode of unconsciousness. Like, there's a range. But so not that many people were trying to pass out. Most of them were just playing with it.
But isn't it true that if you have low oxygen in your blood or something, you have a bigger orgasm? Isn't that what people are trying to accomplish with
it breath varies.
Play? Or is it just like a domination and submission thing?
Yes and yes. And no and no.
Yay, complexity.
Right.
So my sample was very much tilted towards the BDSM community mm-hmm. because they're the people who are talking about it. Many of the responses did come up in DS exchanges, but some of them also practice Tantra, and they would use it to enhance intimacy
right,
and connection
because
and presence.
They breathe at the same time, and mm-hmm. they do the eye-gazing thing. That's
exactly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So that would be a form of breath play.
Yeah.
Cool, tantric breath play. I never thought I'd come across that, but you know, why am I ever surprised? When Tantra and BDSM just crash into each other, they do it all the time. I don't know why I keep being surprised. Neat!
It's good to be surprised.
Isn't it good?
It's nice.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. What did you find out when you were looking at these people? It wasn't that they wanted to die.
Oh, no. No, no.
They
no.
weren't like doing some sort of oblivion edge play
nope.
thing.
There were maybe two people where breath play, where it looked like breath play was really their thing, where they played with a lot of people and their focus was on breath play, and they caused a lot of people to pass out and went unconscious a lot of times, but that was two out of, you know, 350. And everybody else,
oh,
most of the other people were like, I like playing with it. I like feeling like I'm afraid. I like the sense of danger, but not
so they
actually
do like the sense
some of them,
of fear.
Yeah. Some of them, yes.
Interesting. So it's not just the oxygen deprivation mm-hmm. or the connection. I'm breathing at the same time as you or breathing your breath.
Like the whole sense of fantasy and danger or excitement or power control or anything else around that. Like anything else that can go into sex could be thrown into breath play, or breath play could be thrown into that.
What was your conclusion?
My intention going in, just as a general, I like it when people get to be heard. And so it seemed on reading a lot of the journal articles that a lot of assumptions were being made about people who were dead and who didn't get to say anything about what was going on. That to me really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So my intention was to go and talk to people who are doing this, who are doing this intentionally and deliberately, whether, you know, or not they enjoy it or partners getting them to do it or anything. I wanted them to be able to say what they were doing. I accomplished that. And then I also got some differences between what was presented in the journal articles and the demographics of the people. Because in the journal articles, it's mostly male. Most of them are late teens, early 20s.
Those are those suicides that are actually,
yeah,
you know, belt around the neck, masturbating things.
Yeah, found dead with something around their neck and right. half naked, etc. In the people that I sampled, that I talked to, there were a lot of women. There were a lot more reasons for wanting to do it. There were a lot more non-fatal ways of doing breath control. And very few people knew somebody who, I think maybe 8 to 12% of them had known somebody who was hurt as a result of being in breath control. And many of these people are within community. So 12 people might know the same person who burst some eye vessels in their eye.
So you can like give yourself a black eye.
If you're putting a lot of pressure on the neck and you're cutting off the veins and arteries, you can cause pressure to build up behind the eye and burst a vessel.
Oh, right. Ooh, because God, people aren't just doing breath play by like controlling the mouth breathing, the nose breathing. They're putting their hands around their throat and I think someone was doing something where they were putting their hands on the either side of the throat and blocking the blood vessels.
So there's breath control and there's blood flow control. And they kind of get lumped into the same thing, generally. But yeah, you can pinch off the carotid arteries pretty easily.
And then someone loses consciousness because they're not getting enough blood to their brain.
Yes.
Sexy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, how do we make that safe?
Yeah, what is recommended ways of doing this?
I will not recommend any of this because
their
ways of reducing harm are, one, not doing any of the things that could cause harm. So not using a ligature, a string, a belt, or something like that around the neck. If you're going to do something like that, have
only
somebody
do it with your hands.
Do it with your hands. Do it with your partner. Don't use like pieces of silk scarves because the knot could get caught.
Uh-huh.
And then if you're altered, then your fingers might not be
work
able to get
very
into
well.
The knot and get it open. Don't tie a bunch of knots over each other. And, you know,
right.
Don't hang yourself on anything. Don't do drugs.
Don't
stuff.
Do it when you're doing drugs. Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. Keeping a partner around is really helpful.
And right. Have a buddy. Like
buddy
scuba
with
diving.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Not like in the next room, like, oh, I'll check in 5 minutes. Because
oh,
5 minutes
right,
is actually
five
a really long period of time.
Brain damage time.
Yeah. Yeah. Brain damage is not sexy.
Right. No, it's not.
Like the fantasy of death, like, ooh, hot, sexy, vampires, whatever, blood, blah. But brain damage, no.
No.
Ventilators, no.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm curious about this, too, because I had a situation once where it was just kind of out of nowhere. A partner was really into it.
She's like, hey, choke me.
Yeah,
or, hey.
Just like putting my hands on her throat. And I wasn't really fucked up, but she was.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, you know, it's never come up before. All
you
right,
don't know
it
what
sounds,
you're doing.
Sounds kind of hot, you know? Well, let's try it. Okay. But it was like, I don't want to hurt you.
Right.
You know? And I don't know how not to. She kept like squeezing my hand harder.
But she was,
and I was
squeezing
like,
your hand
like,
over her
putting
throat.
Putting my hand on her throat and squeezing it. And I'm like, all right. And I'm just like, I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to
do
here. it sounds hot. Like, uh-huh. I, you know, if you think it's hot, it's definitely hot for me now. I just like it just wasn't working because I was like, how do I not kill you? Right. That's important. Yeah. How do you? I don't know how to find the line there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the neck. Like you have this bone right here. You have all this cartilage in your throat. Your nerves running right next to your veins and your arteries, and so
sounds dangerous.
It kind of is.
So much important stuff.
Like
really.
Like people have been doing it, and many. But, you know, people have been doing it. Some of them have been doing it for years. Some of them are just fine. Some of them have gotten a little bit loopy over the years. This is, you know, just stories that have come out of the
A little
the
bit
survey.
Loopy.
A little bit loopy. Like, they're kind of...
They're not as focused as they were
something's
before.
Something's off in the head a little bit. Oh, and this is, like, a couple examples.
So does oxygen deprivation do that to you over time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're not giving your... If you're not feeding your brain... Then
really?
Yeah, apparently it's a problem.
Interesting. So nitrous is also a problem.
Nitrous can be a problem, yeah. But if I understand nitrous correctly, the problem is if you're breathing it back and forth in, like into the balloons or whatever, as opposed to breathing in oxygen. Because the one thing that didn't make sense to me, I'm still new with the nitrous thing, and like talking to people who do it.
Sure.
Is that dentists use it.
Right.
And so if dentists are using it, then it's...
How bad could it be?
But dentists are mixing oxygen in it. So
These people are getting no oxygen.
Yeah.
What's an O2, right? Like two units of oxygen? Doesn't that count for something?
Yeah. So for the people who are breathing just nitrous and depriving their brain of oxygen and getting that woo feeling, I'm in one with the universe, wah, 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 what's going on? Are they getting stupider?
I don't know. I didn't measure if anybody was intelligent or not, or if they or how crazy they are. I also had a sample group of like, quote unquote,
non-breath play people?
Yeah, non-breath play people. And they came out pretty even.
Good work not saying normal.
Yeah. No. I would not make that assumption.
So there is that way of doing breath play with nitrous where you like kiss the person and then you breathe the nitrous back and forth and you're only breathing nitrous.
That kind of sounds like that wouldn't be introducing new oxygen into the,
right?
the system. Mm-hmm. So if you do that for several minutes at a time, then that's several minutes where you're not getting very much oxygen. Because... First couple passes, you'll get a little bit of oxygen, but then your body starts using it up. But as long as you're just passing it back and forth, then you pass out, then you'll hopefully fall apart and start
breathing again. Right.
Yeah. I haven't been around anybody who's done that. So
your work at Oasis is all with mostly homeless people. And it looks like your work in your dissertation was about getting people's voices heard with this kink community, people who like to do breath play. And your focus was hearing about people like David Carradine, who now the only thing that they can say is what's printed in the headline. They seem like some crazy kinky person. But it sounds like, using finger quotes now, normal people actually engage in breath play.
And the really interesting thing about that is you don't know how to talk to them about it. Because I talk to people who are in the kink community, BDSM community, or some form of sexual community where they're used to thinking about what they're doing and they're analyzing it or not. They have a name for it. You know, breath control play. Yes, I play with people's breath.
Right.
But I've had friends, I've had teachers who are like, oh, yeah, I had this boyfriend, I had a student, whatever. They just, I don't engage in any of that kinky stuff. I just like choking my girlfriend. You know, how do you talk about the dangers when they don't know that it's a problem?
Right. And how do you talk about it when you don't know? I mean, because people don't really compare what they're doing many times. They're like, oh, that's normal. I've always done that. Mm-hmm. And so what have you found? Have you been able to come up with a list of harm reduction tips?
That half the people in the group didn't feel like what they were doing was really all that dangerous. You know, I asked them what safety measures they took. And some of them, the things that they were using were, you know, hands over the face, nose, mouth, hands on the neck, organic body parts. A couple of them were using ligature of some sort around the neck. But
like a belt or something?
Yeah, but they did feel that they had control over it where they didn't need a safety backup.
Well, just because they felt like they had control and were being safe doesn't mean that they necessarily were.
Yeah, you're measuring how to measure that.
Right,
though.
It's hard to measure. Yeah. Okay, and we have to be scientific.
Yeah, but there were other people who took first aid classes, who consulted medical professionals, who have backup calls, who notify partners or whatever what's going on.
You really feel like you gave people a voice because you were able to give people a place to talk about breath play.
That was the intention. I'm still working on getting it published.
What sort of work do you do giving people a voice at Oasis?
There, because I'm so new, I'm trying to learn how to listen to them and what to listen for. There are a lot of people who are underserved and who are accustomed to not being listened to, I think. So I'm trying to learn how to be present with them so that they can feel safe enough to talk with me and say what they need.
Right.
So that I can give them as much information as I can so that they can make decisions for themselves.
And what sort of work have you done with kink awareness and in the kink community?
So the Society of Janus, where I'm one of the program directors, mm-hmm. we have a class this Sunday at the Center for Sex and Culture, and Ray Goldman and Dossie Easton are presenting.
Dossie Easton!
Yes.
She's so awesome!
She's the perviest grandma I've ever met.
I know!
Met.
She made adorable. A fist one time sitting in that chair and was like, damn.
Turning on the switch. We're having a switching class.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Well, switching is, okay, do you know what switching is?
Nope.
Okay, switching is when you go from dominant to submissive in the same scene, right? Just back and forth
in general. Yeah.
Which is kind of controversial because many people in the kink community believe you have to be one or the other, or you couldn't really be a real switch, right?
You're not a real top if you bottom. Something like
right,
that.
Exactly. Something yeah. like that, which I don't know if I'm fully on page with that, because how would you know what you would like or what to do or what feels good if you haven't tried it?
See, that when Neil was in here earlier.
Right, he hasn't like, tried the penis like, rack.
How could you not? Oh my God, that thing looks so cool. If I had a penis, I would totally have that on.
Yeah. Oh my God,
that
are you kidding
looks so
me?
Cool.
Right.
It actually does look pretty cool. I would have showed it to you guys. But I was nervous about the camera.
Oh. Yeah. I ask? Why didn't I ask?
I would have showed it to you.
Oh.
I did take a picture.
Did you?
Yeah.
Can we see?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, excitement. Jim, I love you. I love you. I love you. So right now we're talking about Inches for Charity. It's a cockumentary about penis enlargement.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's my friend Jim.
Wow, so, check that out.
Yeah, oh, my God. That's amazing.
And that's flaccid, right?
Yeah.
So it just stretches it out.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Because
wow,
I mean, look just in that. Normal state when mm-hmm. it's not aroused, mm-hmm. it's not big mm-hmm. at all. It's mm-hmm. very compact. And, I mean, like I was just like Rick, and it was like okay, and I was like you know, and the thing pivots really well, uh-huh. really
right.
well.
So
and,
it feels comfortable even though your wing is all stretched.
Yeah,
out.
It's really it was really odd how non hurtful it was. I was really surprised.
And apparently, it makes your penis longer.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I need to stop looking. Like, I have a radio show to do. Wow. Okay. So, Inches for Charity. The extender. It's for the kids.
I kind of don't, you know, want to break anything.
You wouldn't break
you know?
Anything.
That's good to hear, doctor.
Like,
I don't
sweetie
know.
That could help you out.
Yeah. I don't want you to think about it. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if she would be like, no, I don't want it any bigger.
Yeah. Right? I don't know. It's just.
Because if my boyfriend was like, I'm like, no, I've adjusted to this.
I know. Actually,
it's good. I like it. It makes me calm. Mm-hmm. Please don't do anything to it.
Right. Right. It's not broken, right?
Right?
So,
totally.
Yeah.
Don't stretch it.
It just sounded like, I was just like, this is interesting. I'm not going to say no and then later say, oh, man, I should,
yeah,
check,
that's right.
should check that out.
You have a photo of it.
Interesting.
God bless you.
Well, I was like, I was in there and I was like, this is really interesting looking.
Right.
It's like a prosthesis or right. something. You know, it was like, got a document.
Right.
For sure.
Well, thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
Wow. Inches for Charity. Let's go back to Society of Janus. Mm-hmm. And you have some stuff coming up at the Center for Sex and Culture. How do people find out more about your work?
Center for Sex and Culture, mm-hmm. where they can go to sexandculture.org. So speaking of Inches for a Cause, we have Come for a Cause. In May, because May is National Masturbation Month.
I love you guys. Yeah, I love this city.
It is. Don't they have the Masturbate-a-thon?
The Masturbate-a-thon is going to be in May, so check our site for the date and location, and come and volunteer.
Come and volunteer at the same time.
Come and volunteer and come. Yeah,
that's
it's great.
Right. So there's that, and then Society of Janus is at soj.org. And we have a great calendar. We have a community events calendar, actually. It's pretty fantastic because all the different groups in the area, you know, the Citadel, Janus, the 15 Association, et cetera, they all have their classes or their events and Edges down in the South Bay if they've got something coming up.
So you think there's nothing going on in this city. Boy,
there
are you
is
wrong.
Something every night.
And what is the Society of Janus about exactly? What is it and what is it about?
It is a BDSM social organization. So it's
and you have the munch.
We have a munch. Mm-hmm. It's at the Thirsty Bear on the third Saturday of the month,
oh,
and
munch.
It's from like
I know
one
isn't
to
that funny?
I'm
I love it.
So you can come and just hang out and have lunch with other kinky people, and there's general announcements, and you can dress up in your leathers if you feel like it. Some of the munches request that you know wear normal clothes.
Oh really?
Some of the other organizations because you know they might be in the back of a Denny's or something like
right.
that. And
I suddenly. 15 people walk in wearing latex.
It's hard to eat with a ball gag in your mouth anyway.
Yeah, you can bring your own doggy dish and
like my bondage dinner.
Ooh, those are fun.
Club. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. This
Dr.
was a
Kemi.
Lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you were here early. Thank God. We were like, is that safe? Dr. Kemi Ando will know.
Perfect.
The venerable Jim Stone getting Woo! Extra double bonus points gold Thanks. Stars for trying on the penis rack. Good, good, good. This has been another wonderful episode of Sexploration with Monica. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Sexploration with Monica.